Hello and welcome to this series on business process outsourcing. This is chapter one and I'm Professor Nitesh Verma. So in this first chapter, we'll take you through overview of what outsourcing is. What is business process outsourcing? So outsourcing is when you allow a third party provider, a company, or even an individual at times to perform some activities which were earlier being carried out by your own organization. So you identify certain activities that a third party vendor, a service provider, or an individual can perform on behalf of your company. So you identify a business process which is a part of your organization, and that process is given, transferred to a third party service provider or a vendor. So that is what is business process outsourcing. So outsourcing is a transformative and strategic business practice. Strategic because you want outsourcing to benefit your organization, the parent organization or the client organization, in one or many ways. The primary reason why outsourcing started was cost reduction. So companies identified activities that were not the core functions of their business, and they outsource the non-core activities to third-party service providers in order to reduce cost and to focus on their core business functions. So a typical example is call center operations. So let's take an example of a banking organization, a bank, for example. So for a banking company, a bank, the financial transactions are the core business operations. But handling customer service calls is not a core operations of a bank, but they are a supporting business function. But that's non-core. And that, if outsourced to a third-party service provider, that lets the bank focus its resources on their core operations, while a specialized service provider who is skilled in handling customer service calls, the technology, is providing the customer support operations to the bank. So outsourcing was done in order to reduce focus on non-core activities, to gain expertise of third-party service providers, and to reduce cost. Hence, when outsourcing started, it was mostly onshore. So for example, companies in the US would outsource certain functions to providers in the United States, in the same city, the same state, or different states. But as technology improved and companies like India, Philippines, and some other companies in the Europe started to provide these services to companies in Europe and US, they started offshoring. So offshoring was outsourcing their business process from one country to another country. So we will discuss all these in detail as we move through the lecture and discuss different aspects of business process outsourcing. Now, at its core, outsourcing involves the strategic delegation of specific tasks or entire processes to external third-party service providers. So what companies could do is either they could outsource the entire process, or they could break up the process into different tasks and outsource either some tasks or different tasks to different service providers, which again we will discuss as we move ahead. Now, here is the overview of outsourcing. So first, it starts from identifying what is that you would want to outsource. So if I am a client organization, I would map the entire activity of how the business functions, and then we would identify which activities are strategic, which are non-core, and which are the activities which we could outsource to a third-party service provider that would complement our business efficiency. It would enhance our business efficiency and also reduce cost. So first we will identify the activities that we could outsource, and based on that activity, we will then move ahead and identify suitable vendors. There is an entire process of how we go ahead and we identify vendors. Vendors are service providers. So whether it is a call center operations, you would look for a call center. If it is IT outsourcing, you would look for a software vendor. If it is manufacturing, you would look for a manufacturing organization. So first you identify the activities, then you look for suitable vendors, and then comes the transition process, the legal framework, and then the transition and steady state. So we will discuss all these steps, but the overview, it starts from you identifying what processes, either part of it or the entire business process. Then you look for vendors, and then you move into the framework, the SOPs, the SLAs, and then the transition and steady state. And now, as we move ahead in the future trend of outsourcing, BPOs are moving into BPMs. So first we used to outsource business processes. Now we are giving third-party companies the entire management of the end-to-end business process, which we will discuss in the chapter when we come to the future trends of business process outsourcing. So let's first look at the history of outsourcing. So it started somewhere around the 1970s. Now, outsourcing as a concept was always prevalent. If you look at outsourcing as a literal meaning, it's giving a third party the responsibility to carry out certain processes on your behalf. So outsourcing as a concept always existed. As a business methodology or as a business model, it started somewhere around the 1970s. So in the 1970s, outsourcing emerges as a business practice, and the initial focus was on non-core activities like data entry, telemarketing, customer support. And then in 1990s, it gained popularity as companies recognized the potential for cost savings. And also, because of technological advancement, companies were able to outsource certain operations to as far as companies in India or Philippines or other parts of the world. So from onshoring, the business practice moved to offshoring, and that is where companies realized significant cost savings as an advantage. In the 2000s, globalization significantly impacted outsourcing strategies. This is when even governments identified the multiple advantages of outsourcing for the local economies. And hence you would see a lot of policies were framed, government support were given. For example, SEZs were an example of how governments supported IT-enabled services to set up offices, infrastructure, and hence the local economy benefited out of it. And then beyond 2000s, outsourcing evolved into a strategic tool for achieving business goals. So it moved beyond cost savings, because if you look at India, for an example, outsourcing boomed in India because India had a large English speaking workforce. That was late 1990s, early 2000s. But now India also has a large workforce of engineering and computer graduates. So now companies are outsourcing software development, research and development, healthcare processes to companies in India. So outsourcing has moved beyond cost saving and labor arbitrage. And we will talk about the multiple benefits that companies get by outsourcing business processes or the entire business process management to service providers in India and elsewhere. Now, India's prominence in the outsourcing landscape is a testament to its multifaceted strengths. So as we said, it started with a large English-speaking workforce, which was not available elsewhere. For example, if you compare India with China, India has a great advantage that our graduates speak English, which clients in the US, UK, Europe, Australia could interpret, understand easier compared to graduates in China. And now India has the advantage of a large workforce, which are engineers or computer graduates. So technological expertise combined with communication is one of the biggest advantages which India boasts of. And then we also have a large pool of highly skilled professionals in IT, software development, and engineering. Expertise extends to cutting-edge technologies, making India a preferred destination for tasks demanding advanced technical proficiency. If you talk about the late 2000s, if we only speak about communication or customer service proficiency, then countries like Philippines are a strong competitor to India. But India has an advantage because of our technical expertise and proficiency. Now, proficiency in English was a key strength and remains a key strength. And English in India is widely spoken and understood, as I said, compared to China or other Eastern countries. And cultural affinity and adaptability of Indian professionals contribute to effective collaboration. So all these make it easier for clients in the US or UK to outsource business processes to companies or service providers in India. But there are certain challenges in outsourcing as well. So first of all, now these are challenges with respect to the service providers or the outsourcing companies or the IT-enabled services, the ITES. One is intense competition. So fierce competition in outsourcing makes it challenging to secure contracts and differentiate offerings. So if you break up outsourcing into the high tier, mid tier, low tier, everywhere you have a fierce competition. In the top tier, you have companies like WNS, Wipro, Genpact, TCS, Infosys. They are competing for the large contracts. And as you move down to the mid and the lower tier, the competition intensifies. There are so many service providers because we have the availability of manpower. Infrastructure is available. And because of advancement in technology, the capex required for starting an organization, a BPO company or an ITES company has lowered significantly. So the barriers to entry are few. You have government policies, schemes like SEZ and other tax incentives, which allow new companies to start operations, and that intensifies the competition. And then we also have competition from providers elsewhere, for example, Philippines, Romania in Europe. Then there is also a shortage of skilled manpower. So when we talk about a large pool of English-speaking engineering graduates, the demand for specialized skills often exceeds the talent pool. For example, companies who are outsourcing healthcare processes, they require certain specialized skills. When we talk about airline processes, they require certain skills and certifications. So sometimes the demand for specialized skills exceeds the available trained and certified talent pool. Then we also have the investment in infrastructure. So maintaining a robust infrastructure requires significant investments in technology, facilities, and security measures. Hence, if you look at the past few years or a decade and a half, BPOs have been primarily located in a few pockets in the country, Gurgaon, NCR, Mumbai, Bangalore, Hyderabad has been coming up, Pune. But as companies need manpower, skilled manpower at a lower cost, they want to move into tier 2 and tier 3 cities. And that requires investment in infrastructure. That is happening and that will continue to happen. But that still remains a challenge when it comes to expanding the BPO network, the ITES framework to smaller towns and cities in India. Then we also have quality maintenance. As we expand and we hire more and more people, we also need to ensure that the quality is maintained. So ensuring consistent, high quality output demands continuous monitoring, training, and adaptation to technological advancements. So we will talk about how SLAs, monitoring, and governance in outsourcing is essential when we talk about maintaining quality and consistency in the service operations. Now here we have a table which talks about the evolution of outsourcing from 1970s and beyond. So as we discussed, outsourcing started primarily because of the cost advantage and the labor arbitrage. The same job which a trained call center executive or a BPO executive in India could perform would cost 8 to 10x if it was being done by somebody equivalent in the United States. That was the reason companies started outsourcing to India, the availability of skilled manpower, English-speaking manpower available at a much lower cost. But as technology advanced and companies realized the engineering graduates' proficiency, the IT proficiency that India had, it moved beyond the cost arbitrage and companies started moving high-end processes to India. So software development, healthcare processes, banking processes. So we moved from BPOs to KPOs, knowledge process outsourcing. And as we move beyond, we talk about BPOs moving into BPMs. So BPOs were where companies outsourced certain identified processes of their organization. BPMs are where third-party service providers are contracted to manage the end-to-end business processes. Then we also saw clients in the US setting up their own captive centers in India. So from labor arbitrage, it moved to the reasons to improve efficiency, access trained, skilled manpower, and now we even see research and development becoming a major component of the BPO industry. So outsourcing has evolved, and with the advancements in technology, especially now with artificial intelligence, machine learning, quantum computing, we would see even further advancements in outsourcing, but that will also intensify the challenge of finding skilled manpower. So we will discuss those in when we talk about the trends of BPO. Now here we talk about outsourcing in the digital age. So the evolution of outsourcing over time has moved beyond traditional functions. The traditional functions were back office operations, telesales, customer service. Now it's moved beyond that. It has embraced high value activities, for example, data analytics, software development. So inclusion of software development. The digital age has seen a significant inclusion of software development within the outsourcing realm. For example, app development. Companies are outsourcing app development to IT companies in India. AI companies need trained manpower to aid machine learning. So you would see companies providing manpower for machine learning activities. Data analytics has become a major part of outsourcing operations. So companies now leverage external expertise for developing cutting-edge software solutions. And again, the manpower available, the engineering graduates available in India make that possible. So that's the evolution of outsourcing in the digital age. And as I said, data analytics, so there's a focus on data analytics with the growing importance of data-driven decision-making. Outsourcing extends to data analytics. Now, if you look at the digital age, everybody has multiple devices connected to the internet. Everybody is using a smartphone, a smartwatch, there are wearables, we use computers, we have smart televisions at home, we have smart cars, smart offices. So there are tons and tons of data being generated by every individual, every organization. And all that data needs to be organized, needs to be sorted, needs to be analyzed for companies to take real-time strategic and tactical decisions. So data analytics has become a huge part. And again, because of the availability of skilled manpower, engineering graduates, that's become a huge component of outsourcing. And what that has done is, this has also given an impetus to smaller organization. If you talk about earlier organizations where traditional functions were outsourced, for example, back office banking operations or call center operations, those were highly manpower driven. So companies needed to hire 200, 300, 400 executives for one business process. But now as we move ahead more into the technical aspects of outsourcing, it's not manpower driven, it's technology driven. So you have smaller setups, you have startups or small IT companies with 30 employees, 40 employees, 70 employees, or even less than 200 who are competing for these contracts and providing services to clients worldwide. And hence outsourcing has become a strategic business tool beyond its conventional role in cost reduction and labor arbitrage. Outsourcing in the digital age is being acknowledged as a strategic tool, that is helping clients, the companies who outsource, achieve their strategic business objectives. So outsourcing now is facilitating achieving broader business objectives by tapping into external capabilities. Earlier, it was support functions, for example, providing customer support for banking operations, providing back office operations for insurance processing. But now it's moved beyond just non-core and support functions to core business objectives. So here again, you have a chart which talks about the forces which are active in outsourcing. So you have internal forces and you have external forces. So when it comes to external forces, you have global competition. So companies in India or in any other country are competing with companies and providers elsewhere. You have customer expectations, which were always there. But as technology improves, the customer expectation also increases. And then you have the pressure to reduce cost. However, cost is now not the primary objective, but that always remains a business factor when it comes to outsourcing. So there is a pressure to reduce cost that's always going to be there. And then you also have internal forces, knowledge management, training, skilled manpower. How do you do more with less? How do you downsize as per customer requirements? So these are multiple constraints, forces and factors that are to be considered when a provider or a company is managing its entire BPO unit or organization. So here we have the outsourcing process, an overview of the strategic, the transition and the operations. So how it moves is you first identify the strategic reason why to outsource, what to outsource. So this stage is driven by the top management and it strives to answer questions like what to outsource, why to outsource, where to outsource, and whom to outsource. So if you are planning to outsource, for example, an app development process, let's say you are a startup in the US and you're developing a healthcare app and you want to outsource the app development and subsequent operations of the app to a service provider, so an IT company, you need to first choose, do you want to outsource the entire process, the entire development, or maybe parts of it? And then once you decide, you also need to decide on the objectives. Why is it that you are outsourcing the entire app development process or certain parts of it? So what are you trying to gain by outsourcing it? Maybe you're looking for quick turnaround. If you were to develop the app in-house in the US, it would take you, say, X number of months or X number of days or X number of years at a certain cost. So if you outsource it to an IT company in, say, India or Romania or Estonia or Philippines or Singapore, what is it that you are trying to benefit out of it? Is it you're trying to reduce the turnaround time because you need to launch your app quicker compared to your competitors? And at the same time, are you trying to save on the app development costs? So you decide what to outsource, why to outsource, and then you move where to outsource. So will you outsource the app development to India, to Estonia, to Singapore? And then you look at whom to outsource. So once you identify the market, then you have multiple vendors, multiple IT companies that would bid for the requirement. And then you need to identify and check who is suitable and who is not. And we will talk about the selection procedure as well. But after you've taken the strategic decision, you move to the transition phase. And transition, again, has multiple ways. One is you outsourcing an existing process to a service provider. For example, we spoke about customer service process. So let's say you already had a customer support team working for your company in the US, let's say 30 employees, 30 customer service executives. So you already have a process running, which you've now decided to outsource to save on costs and focus on your core operations. So once you now identify a service provider, you'll have to outsource the as-is process from the US to, let's say, Bengaluru in India. So the provider will have to first learn your process. And then maybe if required, there'll be a few changes made. So you study the process and then you take the process and you implement that. So you mirror the process with some changes or maybe as is to their office, their center in India. Or in the example of an app development process, it's a new process. It's not existing. So here you have to explain the requirements, document the requirements, then the vendor will submit their project plan and then you let them carry out, and from transition you move to operations. So three very broad steps, each are very critical, but you move from the decision making to transition and to operations. So now we have reasons for outsourcing. So as we said, when it started in 1970s, the primary reason was to let go of the non-core business operations like back office, data entry, customer care, telemarketing. And the reason was cost reduction. But as technology has improved and we've seen service providers gain more expertise, both a functional domain expertise and IT expertise, the reasons to outsource has moved beyond from just cost savings. It's moved beyond to, for example, quality improvement. Sometimes if you're outsourcing certain operations, let's say, again, we spoke about app development as an example. Now, if you're a startup company, if you have an idea, let's say you are a founder of an app, a healthcare app. So you know what your app is supposed to do. You understand the customer pain, you understand the customer problem, and you want to develop an app that addresses the customer pain. But when it comes to the actual development part, the coding to be used, the platform to be used, there is an IT company who is better equipped to deliver those requirements because they've done that in the past. So here, you can expect better quality. Same is with traditional operations, for example, customer service. Now, if you're talking about customer service operations, you need to have customer service available 24/7, for example. You need to have a certain technology. You need to have certain trained manpower from people who will answer calls to people who will train them to people who would support them. So sometimes a third-party service provider has better structure in the technology, manpower, resources, and hence you outsource not just for cost savings, but for quality improvement. Then you have space management, for example. Again, coming back to the customer service operations, if you are a large organization, let's say if you're a Microsoft, if you're a Google, or if you're a large bank like an HSBC, and if you have to have your customer service operations in-house, you would need a lot of infrastructure space to house your customer service agents, which you maybe do not want to do. That's a waste of your investment. Hence, you outsource it to a provider in India or elsewhere who could provide you the same service and frees up your space where you could then station your executives who are involved in your core business operations. For Microsoft, it could be the developers. For HSBC, it could be the core bankers. So cost savings, quality improvement, space management, scalability, restructuring. These are multiple reasons why an organization would choose to outsource one or multiple processes. And it also depends upon the life cycle of the outsourcing company. It could be a startup. They would have different reasons to outsource. They would need certain expertise, which they don't have in-house. And coming to a large corporation, an MNC, their reasons would be very different. And also the maturity of the organization. For example, companies like Microsoft, Google, HSBC have been outsourcing for decades. So they understand the processes. They've done that. They've been there. They know what to expect in terms of the inputs and the outputs. For a startup or for a company who is outsourcing for the first time, they're entering new waters, untested waters, and hence their reasons and their process would be slightly different. But again, these are multiple reasons why companies would choose to outsource one or multiple processes to a service provider. So that brings us to outsourcing models. What are different outsourcing models that companies could choose? One is process-specific outsourcing. So here companies engage vendors to outsource specific processes and services. So here you choose a certain part of your organization. It could be core, it could be non-core, depending upon your reason to outsource. But you outsource a certain process, a certain activity. As I said, maybe testing of the app. You develop the app yourself, but you decide to outsource the testing part of it to a provider. And again, to the traditional example of call center operations, you manage the entire banking operations in-house, but you want to outsource the customer care, customer complaint handling to a provider. So you define a certain process, a certain activity from your entire process map, and you select a suitable vendor who is skilled in providing support for that particular process. So an example is a confectionery firm outsourcing its distribution process to a logistics partner. So here, a confectionery firm is skilled, experienced, and expert in manufacturing, but may not be skilled enough and does not have experience in managing the supply chain and the logistics. So there, they may decide to outsource the logistics part to a partner while they focus on the manufacturing part of their company.